Good morning. Good to see you in worship this morning. Peace, love, conviction, truth, freedom. Words which can be used when talking about a much-needed reformation just over 500 years ago. Words which still can be used in the church today, the church of whom Jesus Christ is the head. His church has always been under attack. His truth has had many knockoff attempts. The peace he has to offer can be overshadowed. And yet his truth, his peace, his church still remains. This is why we celebrate a 500-year-old Reformation, which goes even further back than that, and which still has application for us today. So God help us today and every day rejoice in what he has given to us as his church. As we do that, let us remember that this too is a day the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice in the
Our opening verses from hymn 200 are printed out for us in the service bulletin. Please stand as we sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
pray. Gracious Lord, our refuge and strength, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all their enemies. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Today we have entered the end time portion of the church year, and the first Sunday of end time is Reformation Sunday. And as noted in the introduction, this is why we still celebrate the Reformation. The gospel has always been about the free gift of forgiveness, a gospel meant always for all people. A reminder of this in Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The word of the Lord. The Bible is clear. Salvation is not something that we are able to earn before God. Rather, it is a gift from God. And what is to be our response? Thanks be to God. This encouragement and reminder from Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. John, the 8th chapter. The Reformation was not new. It did get lost, the message of the Reformation, for a time. May by God's grace you and I keep that Reformation message at the forefront of our church and our mission and ministry. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus in on the gospel reading for today. So we hear once again these words from John chapter 8. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear people, redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is responsible for our true freedom. Do people even know what truth is anymore? Modern history books have altered history accounts. We have fake news. Even in the church, there are multiple belief systems all claiming to have some connection to the Bible. We have people claiming that there is no truth, including absolute truth, which means then that statement is not true. So there is truth. Truth we want to deny or ignore because it does not fit into my reality of what I want the truth to be. Despite all that, yes, there is truth, absolutely. There is one truth in particular that stands out and has stood the test of time. That's why many want to and still attempt to deny or ignore this truth. This truth, which still exists and can stand on its own, gives life and peace and freedom. Jesus is the source of this truth. And it is the only truth that matters in the big picture. And what makes this so true is this truthful statement given by Jesus himself when he says, "You have been set free indeed." From what? How? For what? John 8 has answers. Very truly, I, Jesus, tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That truth in the scripture, and which we experience day in and day out, cannot be denied. Sin exists. It exists in our hearts. It exists in our minds. It exists in our lives. It exists all around us. And it captivates people. By nature, we are under its enslavement. And even for us who have come to Christ by his grace, it still tries to take ownership of our heart day in and day out. Think of how sin has impacted our world. Think of how sin has impacted your life. Think of how it has impacted the people around you. Because of sin in the world in general, we have consequences. We have natural disasters. We have illness. We have death. The wages of sin is death. Because of sin and its captivity, we have drug addictions and alcoholism and spousal abuse. Because of sin and its grip on people, we have people who want to deny the truth about their sin, and people who walk away from that which can help them. The people in Jesus' day, they too were trying to deny the realities of sin and thinking, hey, as long as we got Abraham's blood pumping in our veins, we're okay. Or as long as we follow X, Y, and Z of the rules that we have set up, we'll be okay. And think of Luther's time. Sin was rampant, not only in the community, not only in the government, but also in the church itself. And so there was a much needed reformation to take place. Sin had its grip on the hearts of people in all aspects of life. And there was only one way to deal with that gripping sin. And that's still the way today. Again, there is only one main problem in this world, root problem, and that is sin. Oh, it shows itself in multiple ways, some of which we mentioned earlier, and there's only one solution to that root problem of sin. Sadly, many inside and outside the church ignore that solution for their own solutions, and thus the problem of sin just continues to grow. But you and I, we have come to know better by the grace of God. We know what that solution is to the sin of this world, to our own sin, and that is Jesus Christ. The Son sets you free. And if He has set us free, the result? You will be free indeed. Scripture is clear about the truth, what Jesus came to do to set us free. He came to live His life. He became poor that we might become rich. Rich in the forgiveness of sins. Rich in the gift of eternal life. Rich in knowing that through thick and thin, God says to us, be still and know that I am God. I am your refuge and your strength. No one, Jesus says, can snatch you out of my Father's hand. Thus the encouragement to hold on to Him and what He has given to us through His perfect life and through His innocent death, sealed by the empty tomb. Scripture is very clear about the problem and the solution. That solution, Jesus, is able to give us peace of mind. And people are searching for peace of mind. Luther was searching for peace of mind. He, by nature, was looking to himself. He was looking to sources outside of himself, but not the Bible. He was looking at works. He was looking at trying to live a better life. He was looking at beating himself up. The answer is right in front of him. But the church, sadly, was not directing him to the answer, to the solution. And so he struggled with his sin, how to deal with it. And how many people today struggle with sin and the consequences that come with it, including guilt? And so they turn to a bottle, they turn to a needle, they turn to some other form, trying to find peace of mind and heart. But what happens when you don't hit the real problem with the real solution? You keep struggling with that sin and that guilt and its consequences. It was only by the grace of God through the work of the Holy Spirit that Luther came to realize that the problem of his sin could not be dealt with by anything that he did or any rules that the church set up, but only by what God did out of his undeserved love, the giving of his Son, who took upon Luther's sin and our sins and the sins of the whole world upon himself, so that there might be full atonement, free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Has the Son set you free? By the grace of God, He has. You are free indeed. Do not allow then sin to entangle you any longer. And so Jesus encourages us here too, that the truth that we get from the Scriptures, that is to be a way of life for us. That's a way of life that at times can be difficult. It was difficult for people even back in Jesus' day, who saw the miracles that He did firsthand, who heard His sweet gospel message firsthand. They walked away from Him. To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching. Oh, they couldn't do that. because many of them are caught in their traditional ways. I have to do something, was their logic. Or the church said, this is how we have to do it. And so they just could not get out of their traditions and their habits. Obstacles stood in the way. And today, too, many find it difficult to hold on for various reasons. Oh, the temptations are great. Excuses are just as great. Why people don't hold on to the true word of God. I can worship God anywhere. Or God can be whatever I want it to be. Oh, really? How does that line up with what the scriptures have to say? There's a reason why Jesus said, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Because what happens too often when we try to go it alone? We get lost and stay lost. We become easy prey for Satan and all his foes that are working with him. And so Jesus says, hold on to my teaching. The teaching which emphasizes who you really are by nature, sinful, and yet who you also are now by the grace of God, redeemed. Hold on to what he has given to you. And by grace we can hold on. By grace we see the importance of honoring the third commandment. Not despising the preaching of his word, but gladly hearing it and learning it, marking up the scriptures, knowing that the scripture is truth, the truth we need, the truth that sets us free. There's no room, dear friends, to compromise this truth. Jesus was not willing to compromise it. I am the way and the truth and the life. He clearly and boldly said, and rightfully so. There's no combination of faith and works. Luther realized too that there's no room for compromise. Not just with the church of his day, but those that sprung up also to challenge the church of that day and their teachings. If they were not adhering to the scriptures in everything, there was no room for compromise, according to Luther, and rightly so. Mark and avoid those who teach contrary to the scriptures, Jesus says, for good reason, so that we can hold on to the truth that sets us free. Because if we slide away from the truth, the central truth of scripture, that we are justified by faith apart from works, then we have lost what Jesus gave up his life for. Oh, it's still there. But we have lost it. Jesus doesn't want that. So he says, hold on to my teaching, and then you are my disciples indeed. The truth sets you free. The truth about the Son sets you free. Dear friends, set free by Jesus through his word of truth, you are equipped with that truth. Luther made sure of it in his day that the people would be equipped. So he wrote the small and large catechisms, for example. He wrote many hymns in response to the truth so that people who were ignorant of the truth would know the truth that sets them free. You and I, many of us have taken the time to go through that small catechism, a systematic way of studying the Bible and its truths, to have it take root in our hearts as the Lord commands us to have it done. We are equipped so that we can hold on to the truth, and then we are equipped to take that truth which has been given to us and share it with a world that does not have the truth or denies the truth. People are searching. Perhaps you know a neighbor, a family member, a co-worker who is searching for truth, who has fallen away from the truth. Ask the Lord to give you the opportunity, the words, the wisdom to share the truth again with them. God has equipped us to be defenders and proclaimers of the truth so that we can stand where Luther said when told to take back that justification by faith alone statement. And he says, hey, unless you can prove from the scriptures why I'm wrong, I cannot and I will not recant. That's got to be you and me too. No room for compromise. And then to go on the offensive, as Jesus told us, go and make disciples of all nations. And he's given us the way to do that. Baptizing and teaching them everything which he has commanded us to teach. The truth about the Son, Jesus, has set you free. The truth is that Jesus is the source of forgiveness and true inner peace. Truth. There still will be consequences in this side of heaven. Truth. While this life is temporary, the one that Jesus, the Son, has won for us is eternal. We know there is truth. We have been led to believe it. We have it. By the grace of God, we live by it. And by his doing, we share it. Despite distractions, we're still here to hold on to the truth, to defend it, to share it. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is truth. Amen. Let us confess our faith according to the Nicene Creed on page 8. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest us, nor should we aught withhold, dear Lord, from you. In love our souls would bow, our hearts fulfill its vow. Some offering bring you now, something for you. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church on page 9. Almighty and eternal God, when the time had fully come, you sent your Son to take our place under the demands of the law and to endure the just punishment for our sins. For our sake, you accepted his sacrifice on the cross and raised him from death to glorious splendor.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
When the time had fully come, you bestowed your Spirit on your people as a testimony that you had called them to proclaim the gospel to every creature. Equipped and encouraged, they carried the word of salvation into all the world.
The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice.
When the time had fully come, you raised up your servant Martin Luther to restore the pure and right teaching of the Scriptures to a troubled church. You renewed your people with the light of your love, and your holy church grew and prospered throughout the world.
God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble.
When the time had fully come, you made our forefathers bold to take their stand on the truth of your word. You have blessed their sons and daughters and enabled us to preserve and proclaim the saving gospel.
Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world.
Let this be a time, O Lord, when you renew us again by word and sacrament, when you reform our hearts and minds, and when you restore to us the joy of fellowship and service. Grant to us in this age and in this place the courage of the apostles, the steadfastness of the reformers, and the dedication of those who have gone before us.
May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us.
May this be a time, O Lord, for confession and repentance. Forgive us for the apathy that harms our faith and hinders our work. Forgive us for boasting of our past achievements and for blaming others for our present problems. Rid us of indifference to public worship and Bible study. Destroy the distrust that plagues us and shatter every thought and word that harms the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Create in us pure hearts, O God, and renew steadfast spirits within us.
Lord, thank you for your blessing of a child to Raymond and Patricia. As they recognize this new life as a gift, continue to provide them with the means to raise this child and their other children in your ways, as well as provide them with the means to physically care for their family. Bring physical healing to Fred Beiderbecke as he entered the hospital yesterday due to complications to ongoing health challenges. Renew his trust in your promise that you remain his refuge and strength through this time as well. Be with the people and families who have been displaced due to the recent fires. Move hearts to be compassionate. Provide them with opportunities to heal from loss and to find or hold on to the peace you alone provide. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on that love you have for them. Let this be a time, O Lord, when we recommit and reconsecrate ourselves to the ministry of the gospel. Let us find joy in our unity, zeal for our work, and success in our labor.
May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, that his ways may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you this day for the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us and by whose testimony you have fixed our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Special welcome to our guests with us this day. Glad you are here on this Reformation celebration. If you haven't, guests, checked out our Welcome Center in the entryway, please do so. If it's your first time with us, there's a gift there as well. Information about our mission and ministry can be found at that Welcome Center. And if you have questions about our ministry here at St. Mark's, ask somebody. Perhaps they will be able to answer those questions. If not, they'll find somebody who can. So hopefully take the time to greet one another, especially those who are right next to you. And as we've said before, hopefully they give you the same name if you've introduced yourself to them before. Just a reminder, further reflection thoughts on today's readings that can be found in the service bulletin. Those are meant for small group studies, for individual studies, however you want to use them. Just not during the sermon, but that's okay. Bible study for today taking place in the church sanctuary, the book of Galatians, and how that ties in with Reformation, the end time season of the church, and to help us hold on to the scriptures. And then especially for families, we have another opportunity taking place in the building next door from the ground up, how important it is to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to be aware of the obstacles that are in parents' way today. And so how can the church help you, parents, do that, and grandparents? LWMS, Mission Box opportunity. Please see the information board there in the entryway for how we can help support the proclamation of the gospel through this great work that the LWMS does, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, and those mission boxes go a long way in supporting missions. Even our daughter congregation, Folsom, able to apply for grants that the LWMS makes available for outreach efforts. Jesus Cares today at 2 o'clock. It'll be taking place in the chapel because of the Reformation meal taking place in the multi-purpose center. Then the Area Reformation service takes place at 4 o'clock. It'll be a different service than this morning's services, and there will be, again, as mentioned, a meal afterwards. Can't have worship without a meal most times. Keep Principal Nate Rich in your prayers as he continues to deliberate the call of where to serve, either here at St. Mark's or at St. Paul's in Green Bay, where he is currently. He's asking great questions. He's excited about the ministry we have here. We'll see then how the Lord leads him in answering the call. Keep in mind the anniversary gala, the 50th anniversary of our school, is coming up next weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, big events going on. Saturday's the gala. There's still room in the mezzanine. So if you want those tickets, they're half price. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have a mezzanine in the storage room, we do. But there are some tickets available. So talk to Pam, who's at the table there in the entryway, to get you hooked up. It's a great event. People are donating some great things to help support our mission and ministry here at St. Mark's in another way. And then Sunday, the special worship services for the anniversary. Christmas for Kids, the one-day VBS for ages 4 to 10, is coming up the day after Thanksgiving. Keep that in mind, from 9 to 12. Talk to Pam Egley or Pastor Groth if you have more questions regarding that Christmas for Kids opportunity. And then weekly news, see that for more information of what's going on. Blessings to each and every one of you this day. May they be evident throughout the week. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.